Never Away Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 187 in what has now officially become a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Welcome, everyone. We've got a great show for you planned this week. Oh, my God, it's jam-packed full of stars and stripes and you know, letters to the editor. I don't know. Does that sound right? This guy joining us over here, a good friend of the show, Kevin Doddrell, or also known as Thunder, also known as Lightning, or Camaro Kev, from the Stack of Dimes podcast. Hello, sir.
Hello. I'm getting my mic's on.
You're on there.
Huh.
Yeah. Can you hear yourself?
Now I can hear myself.
Do we need to start over again?
No, we're not starting over again. Jesus Christ.
Here, let me turn your headphones up a little bit.
Fine.
How's that?
Yeah, it's great. As long as you can hear me and the listeners can hear me. Hello. Well, I would have said stars and bars. I don't go in with
stars and bars.
Yeah. I like that because it rhymes. Instead of stars and stripes, I go with stars and bars.
Yeah. I don't know if this would be considered like much of a patriotic podcast, but, you know, we're trying. We're trying, sir.
Well, you're a commie, so there's an issue there. I think that's...
Well, that would be stars and sickles. I should have started out. Stars and sickles? I don't even know why I started out like that.
Hammers and sickles?
A hammer and sickle, yeah. But there's stars on there, too.
Is there?
Yeah, I think so.
Is there a star?
Good question.
No, not really. Not really a good question. Not really a good question.
Let's start over. We'll look this up and we'll start. No, I'm just joking.
You really scared me. I thought you were going to start this fucking thing over, man.
Well, welcome, sir. It's been a little while since you've been here in the backyard.
It hasn't been a while since I've been in the backyard. It's just been a while since I've been on the show.
It has been a little while since you've been. We were doing like a weekly movie watching session back here.
Which
was a lot of fun, and then you decided that you didn't want to be friends anymore, mm-hmm. and then we kind of broke that tie, I guess. But anyway, we've got...
I think that movie night cover has been working for us, by the way. Well, hey, hon, just going to go watch a movie with Aaron. We're not having hot man butt sex at all. Not at all.
Not at all. Not at all, honey.
Not at all.
It doesn't smell like dude butt back there. It's just, it actually does smell like dude butt back here right now. Welcome, everyone. Yeah, this is the show. Hey, we've got a jam-packed episode. Like I said, that could be a sexual term.
Yeah, it could be. Jam-packed.
Let's start over. No.
Okay, three, two, one.
we've got an interview with the legendary actor Billy Connolly coming up later in the episode. And also, we're just going to sit here and we're going to chat with Kevin, and we're going to hear some new music from the band Nothing as well, which is really super good. Have you heard of the band Nothing, Kevin?
Come on. Who are you talking to here?
I know.
I mean, who are you talking to? Where are they from?
Who knows?
You don't even know?
I don't think I even have that pulled up.
How did they get on your radar?
I was sent an email by their record label, and they said, hey, new album coming out for the band Nothing, and you should check it out. And I did, and I'm burping.
Was that the first time that you had checked out the Nothing?
Yeah, that was the first time I had ever heard of the band Nothing,
so then
and
why,
they're fucking fantastic. And
why
I'm super,
would you
super
think that I would ever have fucking heard of them if you haven't heard of them?
Because you are a music aficionado, sir.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll just leave that dead space
I was waiting for you to leave. It's
I'm just actually I'm just getting people prepared for the dead space that is on the Billy Connolly interview.
Oh,
as well.
Some timing issues. Or what's going on there?
You know, phoners. We'll get into phoners a little bit later because you work in radio as well, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that.
Sure.
But the first thing that I do want to talk to you about: Have you been watching True Detective?
Of course.
Yeah.
Don't you listen to my show?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, we had a little discussion about it. Me and JD.
Yellow King, man.
Yeah, Yellow King.
What's the name of the Yellow King? It's like Caraco or something. Isn't there like some name of the Yellow King, right?
In the show, like the guy.
Yeah,
there's some name like. Do you want to say
Corasacco or something?
Sure.
I don't remember
like memorizing a name per se, and also.
Apparently, it comes from a true story.
Maybe give everyone a heads up that there might be some spoilers here if you haven't seen.
Yeah, if you haven't seen,
and you're looking to do some HBO going sometime in the future or something, you might want to just shut this down, fast forward a little bit.
Do what I do and borrow somebody else's HBO Go account.
Do what everyone does. did you hear that the guy that runs HBO Go, he's like, I don't give a shit that people do that.
Yeah. Well, why would you?
Well, Netflix, because they go head-to-head with Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix is
like, you know, people just rip that thing off, right? And then the HBO guy's like,
who gives a crap, man?
They're still consuming our product.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Netflix guy flipped out. He was like, you're going to kill this industry, you motherfucker.
Oh,
actually, I'm just completely making this up. I don't know what he said.
Oh, my God.
No, not the whole thing. I'm just saying what he said.
Okay.
Like, I'm just completely projecting. I mean... I just realized, like, I'm actually just putting words
in
the CEO of Netflix mouth. He's just going to come here and just fucking sue you.
I don't think so.
That's just my my own acting out.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah,
alleged.
Totally,
alleged.
Totally. I get it.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I've been watching it.
Yeah. You're a fan, right?
Mm.
It's an amazing show.
Yeah.
So I've heard the rumor is, well, there may be substantiated rumor that the show is going. So the first season is just, you know, Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey.
What are you regurgitating what we talked about on Stack of Dimes? This is an embarrassment. How dare you?
Holy shit. Really?
Yeah, I think we talked about
maybe this is where I found out about it. But you know, for the people who don't listen to the Stack of Dimes, which is, by the way, one of my favorite podcasts, the one that every time a new episode comes up, I am very excited.
Don't wax my car just because I'm here.
I'm very serious. Well, I'm being serious with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's not just because we're sitting here naked together.
You're a good friend.
But the rumor has it that the second season will be with two different detectives, right? Is that what's going on?
That's what JD told me.
Okay.
Because I guess...
I think I read that somewhere. I don't think I first heard it on your show. I think I read it somewhere.
And I think JD read it somewhere, and I guess kind of what's backing that up is that neither Woody or Matthew McConaughey have been signed on for a second season.
Okay.
Apparently, they've only signed on for one season.
Yeah.
Which kind of blows my mind if that's the case, because that means...
I think it's a fucking great idea.
Oh, it's a great idea.
But
the current season's next episode is the last episode, and I'm like, you're going to wrap this whole thing up in one more episode?
Okay, so this is what I wanted to talk about, because there's so much shit. And this is going to go... Obviously, this episode's going to be available like after the last episode.
Of True Detective.
So, like... But that's the thing. I'm so obsessed with this show right now. Like, I just wanted to talk about it with somebody else who is as obsessed. But like, it seems like with this one episode left to go, like there is so much shit to wrap up. I was just talking to my friend Kyle about that. You know Kyle?
Yeah.
In the band Kirby Crackle.
Yep.
He was agreeing with me. Like, there's so much shit to wrap up in this last episode. Like, you're just like. They can't do it in 1 hour.
You know what?
Right?
Now that I think about it, and I think there's kind of a Lost factor to this. So
a little bit, yeah.
Who watched Lost by the time...
There's some supernatural stuff going on a little bit.
Well,
like the crows forming the symbol
I was going to say Lost in that last season of Lost.
Right.
Everyone was saying, how are they going to wrap this up? There's only two more shows left.
And you got to
the second show, and by the end of the second show, you're like... They didn't fucking wrap anything up. How are they going to do this in the last episode?
So I don't really get that. I get a little bit of that feeling with this, because really the way to wrap it up is we just eventually find out who's doing this shit.
Well, I think we already have, right? Because they ran in, and this is a huge spoiler for anybody who has not watched the
Shut it down now.
Press stop, fast forward about 10 minutes.
Yes.
Okay? But in the last episode, right, they come across the two detectives that were interviewing future Matthew McConaughey and future Woody Harrelson character. They were driving down a road trying to find the church.
And they bump into the guy with the scars.
And they bump into the guy with the scars who's on a fucking lawnmower, who is the same character, mind you, I believe, anyway, the same character who is mowing the lawn in front of the degrading school that Matthew McConaughey shows up in.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that.
Two episodes.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure. I think
that's the same guy. He works for the company and is basically the landscaping guy.
But here's the thing, though. Like, doesn't that seem a bit obvious?
What?
Well, because the whole show, you're wondering if it's McConaughey.
No. Okay, so this is what I thought about McConaughey from the start. I was vindicated in this last episode because McConaughey has been working for so long. Detective Rust, right?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Rust Cole?
Rust Cole. Detective Cole. His first name is Rust.
Yeah.
But so he's been working the whole time doing this as like his own side gig.
So he
right?
says.
Yeah.
But he could also be.
I don't think
this,
so, man. I think he's also fucking a straight shooter and he's just like trying to figure out because he feels guilty for not figuring this shit out.
But
in
that's
the, first place.
The dilemma of the show. That's why I'm saying, are we going to get a satisfactory answer? Because,
we'll
see, if you get to the last show and they're like, yep, it was this goddamn lawnmower guy who showed up in the second to last episode. He's the one that's been doing it. That's not a very satisfying.
No. But see, it goes beyond the lawnmower
because
guy.
Because there's a group of
yeah, it's a whole group of like really highfalutin people, like mayors and the guy who owned the mega church and everything like that too.
So then,
right?
So then the whole show then is basically not. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is like if that is the answer, if it's the whole time he was doing this, he was. You know, being detective when he wasn't supposed to be detective, and he found out that it was all these guys, and they get him in the end. I mean, I guess that's kind of satisfying, but the whole fucking show was based on up until the last two episodes.
That's true.
That, you know, was it Rust or was it not?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying it takes.
That's a good point.
I'm not
that's
saying
a good point.
Even if it does end that way, it doesn't take anything away from me because it's
right,
well
right,
acted,
right.
It's well written.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazingly shot. The thing's fucking awesome.
Okay, so I think that if it does end up being Rust Cole, who is in on this whole thing.
You think he might be a part of it with a group of guys? Or
No. I think if it is what you're saying, like if it does end up that Rust Cole is involved in this ring.
That's what I mean.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Then that's the obvious route. Because that's the swing, right? That's the big fucking reveal at the end, right?
I mean, I guess
there's got to be a big reveal,
yeah,
but I don't think it involves Rust Cole being involved in the ring, and murder ring.
I think it's a little bit obvious, yeah, but the whole time you were led to believe that he was just a lone kind of killer.
But then why would he bring his old partner back into the fold? Can't answer that, can you?
Well, I mean, he's been playing Woody the whole time would be my answer to that is the whole time,
yeah.
Even when Woody was sitting in that room and those guys were like, you know, we think
it's him.
He
was still sticking up for him.
And he was like, no, it's not him.
Yeah, yeah,
and then the guy's like, hasn't he basically led this thing the whole time? And, you know, pointed. And then then Woody was like, you're kind of right. And that's what's funny to me was when he's like, when he shows up and says, let's go get a drink. And they go get a drink.
Yeah.
And then he takes him to a storage unit. The whole time Woody's like, I don't know about this guy. I don't know about
this guy. He pulled a
gun.
And
then he's like,
Then
he's like, watch this. And the dude's like, ugh. And then Woody freaks out from what he's seeing. And now he's completely on board with him now. So
Right.
So that's a mind fuck. Like you're thinking like, you know, it isn't Rust. He's got the thing right here. But he could still be playing him.
Okay. We'll find out. We'll find out on Sunday, and along with everybody else. And then they'll listen to this and be like, "Dude, this is so late." in the game.
Yes, but I will agree with you in that I hope it does wrap up this Sunday. I hope they haven't signed those guys for a second season. And I kind of hope they go the route like they're saying. It's called True Detective because it's just detective stories. And each season's a new story with a new cast.
Right. I think that would be fucking fantastic. Great idea.
Because
great idea.
What is going on with The Walking Dead would not happen with what's going on with the fucking, with this show.
You know what I mean? Like, what do you mean?
Are you watching The Walking Dead?
Well, I haven't watched any of this new, like, they do like 2-part seasons, right? They do half seasons or whatever.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of the new seasons.
I just think that the show has been kind of jumped the shark a while ago. Yeah.
Well, so I heard you guys talking about this on Stack of Dimes. I mean, the takeaway from Walking Dead is, first of all, it's a zombie show.
Mm-hmm.
So, first unbelievable, highly unbelievable scenario.
Sure. But done in a realistic way.
Done in a realistic way.
From the first season it was.
Right. But it's also based on a comic book. So there's going to be some like...
I know the comic book well.
Right, right. So there's going to be some crazy, over the top gore and things like that. Like the girl who, I can't remember her name, the girl who wields the samurai swords, with the chained up armless zombie slaves.
Yes. Right?
Who turn out to be her brothers or whatever.
Michonne.
Yeah. I mean.
Here's the problem though.
Okay.
Here's this is a nerd like me that me and JD kind of, we were, okay. So when it was announced that they were going to make this
Lethal Weapon 3 for you,
I don't know why that came into my head. So when they announced that they're going to make this show, I had been reading the comic books, the trade paperbacks,
right.
And I was a ways into it, and I was like, "Oh, this will be interesting. Let's see how they do." And then it was announced that Frank Darabont was a part of the whole deal.
Yes,
Frank Darabont's the guy that does Green Mile, mm-hmm, Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. I was like, "That's interesting. He's doing TV."
Yeah.
Thought the first season was fantastic. It was lower budget. There was only like 8 episodes because they weren't sure how the show would be received. Everyone loved it. They signed up for the second season. And I think it was the beginning of the second season, the first episode of the first 15 minutes of that episode, Frank Darabont is involved. But then he was let go. Something happened. And from season, I believe 2, maybe 3, but I think it's season 2 on,
yeah,
Frank Darabont has not been involved. And he's only involved in like really in the first bits of the first episode of the second season.
Yeah, yeah. So there's some, actually, there's an interesting story behind the creation of the Walking Dead television series. You remember that I talked to one of the creators of Walking Dead at Comic-Con, maybe it was... last year or the year before? I think it was just last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm actually probably not at liberty to say, because there was a very large lawsuit that happened.
But it's known. It's out there. If you Google search, you can, I think you can go to Wikipedia and it'll come up that the guys that created the comic book.
Right, right. One guy branched off and made the TV series without the other guy's
and
okay.
The other guy thinks that he deserves a little slice of that pie, right?
Kind yeah, because he basically did all the art for season 1. Created the, created the characters and did all that thing. So
Robert Kirkman, or whatever his name is the guy that...
That's the guy that was involved from day one on the TV show.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But has now been wrestled kind of, I'm just alleging, we don't know exactly what happened behind the scenes, but it was basically Darabont was let go and this guy has kind of taken more of a driving.
Oh, no. Kirkman has.
So this is my point was, is that the comic book guy, the guy that wrote a large portion or does write the comic book, kind of took over the show, and since he's taken over, a lot of the elements of the comic book, the samurai wheeling woman with the mouthless zombies, the governor, all this stuff started happening.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really on board. I was like, I don't know how this is going to translate.
Yeah.
And the problem is that comic books, and I've said this, and I think I said it on the show to JD, was like, comic books have their own unique dialogue, especially with like a comic book like Walking Dead, where they don't have any narration in that comic book. They don't have any thought bubbles or anything like that. Yeah. So it's all told through visually the panels and what they're saying.
Right.
If you read that comic book, the dialogue isn't the greatest because they're always explaining something to you. You know what I mean? Because you can only understand so much through the pictures because it's not like it's moving. So a lot of the dialogue in the comic book is kind of bad. But you're okay.
I would say that dialogue in most comic books is bad.
Right. And it's told in a certain format. And if you're a comic book reader, you're used to it.
Yeah.
Or you're like, I'm reading a comic book. I know how they have to. So. And so I don't think a lot of that stuff translates that well sometimes into movies or TV. That's why when the first season, it didn't really follow the way the comic book went. It did a little bit. Like Shane lived longer than he did in the comic book and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I think like when you have someone who's not so emotionally attached comes in and says, hey, look, this is a great part. This is a great part. Let's move it more in a realistic fashion. And the first season is just about survival. With this apocalypse that happens to be zombies, you know, it ends with them going to the CDC. It's nothing crazy. Yeah, the CDC burns up or whatever.
Yeah.
Second season, it's nothing crazy. They're at the farm or whatever. Great ending to the second season.
I thought the second season was fucking
Everyone
awesome.
Complained that there wasn't enough zombies, so now they've swung the other way.
Right. And created more than they needed to.
But not to give anything away since you haven't watched any the second half.
Well, I made it to the prison, right? Like the governor and stuff like that. That was last season?
Yeah.
Was that
so
last
you have,
season?
Yeah, so you haven't watched any of so this
the
newest
end
of, season.
Yeah, so the okay. end of like last season, where I ended off is like the governor killed all his cronies in like a firefight and then took off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. So that's kind of where I left off.
Well, maybe we'll start it up here.
Well, yeah, but we don't have cable. No cable.
But isn't it available on like one of the streaming devices or something?
Yeah,
isn't
I get no service back here.
Oh,
come on.
Christ.
On my television. We'd have to watch it on a goddamn computer.
You're fucking.
I know. It's awful.
You're unbelievable.
It's awful.
You're unbelievable.
I am.
Get a goddamn satellite dish and put it on top of this building.
You want to pay for that, sir? I'm about to have a second child, man.
Well, then why are we talking about a TV series that you can't even fucking watch?
Because I love it. I love it.
So I don't want to even tell you what happens
then. Pirate it.
Here's the one thing I will tell you. They're getting, and me and JD, I think this was the point of the conversation we talked about. They're getting out of control with the zombies popping up from nowhere.
Still is.
It's worse.
It's like even worse now.
It's worse. It's like, okay, let's check this place out. Okay, everything's good.
Yeah.
And then they like they get involved in a dialogue, and then all of a sudden, bam! This bomb.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
These things are fucking loud.
Are they trying to make like scare moments? Like, is it turning into,
it's getting comical, though.
Right. So it's doing the same thing that every, like, horror movie that has made, like, multiple of them bad. So, like,
really bad.
Starts out Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one, starts out super fucking freaky,
and
right?
And then it starts.
And then you get to the second one, okay, still kind of freaky, kind of scary territory, you know.
Third one, it's
takes
all,
you on in the dream.
It's comedy.
Third one, fourth, fifth, sixth.
It's comedy.
It's just like, okay, now we're going to do a bunch of kids that are dorks and they're into D&D and mm-hmm. they're going to dream about it and it's going to be, you know, the Wizards of Nightmares or whatever that one was called.
I don't
called.
Even know what you're talking about, man.
Dude, there are some fucking... I will say, like,
I'm not a fan
really
of that
into that shit.
I'm not a fan
like,
of that series.
I will watch the crap out of a really shitty 80s horror movie like Chud.
I would say
I
they're not
watch
getting...
It.
They're not getting that bad.
Okay, it's not getting that bad so far.
But this whole, I don't know why, like every episode they have a zombie burst out of somewhere. And these zombies, they're fucking ninjas now, dude. Like they'll be out in the woods.
So they're moving faster and they're like, they're stronger now.
No, they're not
explaining
it. Like, I'm making a joke. It's like they're sitting in the woods surrounded by bushes and all of a sudden they like look around. They're like, okay, there's nothing around here. And then they get into this heated dialogue and then all of a sudden from the bushes, silently jumps a fucking zombie.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen these things from episode one? They're like, they're loud. It's like they don't sneak
loud.
Around.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
They
yeah.
wouldn't be in, there's no way he's just sitting in the bushes waiting for someone to come
they're
along.
They're rotting.
It's ridiculous.
They're rotting corpses that can still walk.
It's lazy.
It's not like they're,
They're getting really lazy.
Right.
They're getting really lazy with these kind of things. And it's going the way of Lost right now. All the characters are separated up and now they're kind of doing their individual stories. And it's like, I'm not, I've Jessica has said it's jumped the shark. Newman is very ticked off. He's a huge fan of the comics.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and JD's like, everyone I talked to.
I didn't know Tuna was into it.
Yeah, I don't know if she is into it, but the last time I brought it up, she was like, oh, that show's jumped the shark.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
I just, and, you know, me and my wife, we watch it, and she's like, and it's getting to the point where, and then you got something like, my point is you get something like True Detective that comes along.
Right.
And you, you know, Sunday night comes along, and you watch Walking Dead followed up by True Detective, and True Detective just blows it away. So.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will still probably watch it at one point.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm not saying it's completely don't watch it now. I'm just saying it's fallen off a little bit. Yeah, I still like it.
I appreciate that though. I appreciate finding out about it. Let's do this though. Let's go to our first musical break. We're featuring songs by the band Nothing, and you can find out about them and this new album that they have. It's called Guilty of Everything. It's so good. And it's on Relapse Records. It's available now. Visit them at their Bandcamp page at wearenothing.bandcamp.com. This song is called Hymn to the Pillory. And I think I'm saying that right. But yeah, check it out. I think, you know what? I don't know if they're playing it South by Southwest, but you might want to look into it. Okay, Hymn to the Pillory by Nothing, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us, everybody. Welcome back, everyone. That was Hymn to the Pillory by the band Nothing. Let's see. Thunder. Mm-hmm. Kevin Doddrell.
Yeah.
Joining me here in the backyard. We are going to get to this interview with Billy Connolly. Legendary Billy Connolly. Sorry. Scottish actor and comedian. Famous on stage and screen, man. Do you know who Billy Connolly
is,
right?
He's the guy that took over for the dude who was the teacher on Head of the Class.
Wait a minute. He did?
Yeah, Head of the Class.
I don't remember that. The original, holy shit.
The original t-shirt was the DJ from WKRP. What's his name? And he was only on for
the
like...
The guy, bald, big mustache. Looks like Jeff Renner.
Yeah, he was the teacher for, I think, like maybe a season or two. And then he was replaced with that Connolly guy.
No shit.
Yeah,
I don't,
look,
I don't
it, look it up. Look it up and see. I can't remember how many seasons it was. And it was one of those things where I was like, oh man, that guy's going away. But when Connolly arrived, I was like, hey, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good
yeah.
replacement.
He's a good, super nice guy. I was extremely honored and flattered that I got, contacted to talk to him. The guy, Michael, who emailed me, also the publicist from Bob Saget.
Mm-hmm.
And contacted me a little while ago, a couple weeks ago, and said, hey, we got Billy Connolly coming, doing a show in Seattle. Let's see, I believe it is March 15th at the Moore Theater. Tickets are on sale now. You're definitely going to want to get these tickets because Billy Connolly has recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And also
I didn't know that.
Had been battling with a bout of prostate cancer as well. And we talk about that. Yeah, we talk about this a little bit. It's a very interesting story about how he actually even found out that he had Parkinson's. And it's been in a few media outlets, over in the UK. I hesitate to say this, but I think we might be the first outlet in the United States that have talked to him about his Parkinson's.
It might be an Air Raid exclusive.
Air Raid exclusive, man. Mm. Yeah. Now you are in media, media.
Sure.
Kev.
I pretend every now and then. Yeah, sure.
Doing phoners can sometimes be a little bit difficult. Like, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, the setups at a radio station are a little different than here at the house or whatever. It depends on what sort of setup you have. But at the radio station, it's usually pretty reliable.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
In the last few years, it's obviously everything's gone to cell phones. So that's a problem sometimes. But
yeah. And, you know, this one worked out good audio wise. So I'm glad to say that. Doing phoners sometimes, like, people are somewhat disinterested in talking to you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Especially if they've done, like, five of them before they have talked to you.
Yeah.
But it's, you know.
But you know what? I don't even know if it's a phone thing necessarily. I mean, I guess it is. Like,
well, it's a lot less intimate. Like, yeah. I feel pressure doing I feel more pressure. If Billy Connolly was sitting here in front of me, I probably wouldn't feel as much pressure as I do over the phone.
I'm completely opposite.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's not like I would be able to talk to anybody as long as they're sitting across from me.
Right.
Or on the phone or whatever, but I find it easier on the phone.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's just a voice on the other end. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But yeah, it's a little different at a radio station.
Yeah,
Like, I'm not saying that your setup's not, you know, not good here. I'm just saying, like, it's pretty common to do phoners at a radio station.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. You know? Totally.
And I don't, and I think the whole thing with.
But it's almost like doing, like, a press junket.
Yeah.
You know, it's like doing a press junket. You get your, you have a certain amount of time.
Yes.
To get to. And so you have these questions. Now, what happened with this one is I think Mr. Connolly, or I think he's even a sir.
Yeah.
He might even be a knight.
Yeah.
I'd have to look into that. That's hearsay. But he called in late, and so I felt a little rushed. So things are a little bit bam, bam, bam in this chat that I had with Billy Connolly, and I just wanted to put that out there before people listen to it. I don't want to give the impression that it's a bad interview, but it is a horrible interview. No, I'm
just joking. Well, you know, the thing when any of these guys are doing this sort of stuff, it's a press junket deal. It doesn't matter if it's live or if they're on the phone or not.
Right.
Even,
right.
Even the live guys that come into a radio station, they've got another place to be.
Oh yeah.
So it's not like they're totally, like, completely enthralled and, like, because they're in the room with you.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's worse when they're in the room with you and it's a terrible interview.
Yeah. Oh no, I've had those. I mean? I've had those here.
Yeah,
I've
terrible,
had those.
Right?
Yes.
How's
oh,
that feel?
Oh man, that feels awful. That's the worst.
At least on the phone, it's like click, you hang up, and it's like that's done with it.
And this isn't even a bad interview. It's just more bam bam bam. It's like okay, this.
Why
this,
were you rushed?
This. Well, it was just a I had to do it early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go to work, and so it was.
Oh, you did it before work?
Well, no, I did it on a break at work.
You probably don't want to put that on the show, do you?
Mm.
Well, if it was on a break, it was on a break.
It was on a break. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
Sure.
I got a mobile setup. And so anyway, it was on a break at my day job, which is, you know, totally cool. I can do whatever I want on my break besides drinking.
Yeah, right.
That would be bad.
And loads of cocaine.
Oh, no. Cocaine is totally, it's totally kosher.
That's
good. Yeah. Yeah, but like I said, it is a complete honor to talk to this guy. He is in the next iteration of the Hobbit movies.
Is he really?
Yeah,
that's cool.
I guess it's not next iteration. That's the wrong word. But the next movie in the series,
the last.
Yeah,
the last.
He plays the Dwarf King.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
And we start out this chat by telling Mr. Billy Connolly, or Sir Billy Connolly, about what my daughter thought of me talking to King Fargus from the movie
Hello.
Brave. Here you go.
Hi, Billy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. I gotta tell you, I told my daughter that I was talking to the legendary Billy Connolly this morning, and she literally said, "Huh?" And then I told her that I was going to talk to Merida's father from Brave, and then she said something to the effect of "I pooped my pants." So you're doing really well in the 3-year-old demographic, sir.
Oh, I do, when I was in the Muppets Treasure Island, I got the same reaction. I was Billy Bones the pirate.
Right, right. Oh, that's
really weird because the kids who have got those DVDs, they watch them like 90 times, so they know your stuff really well. They know it off by heart.
Oh, exactly.
They recognize your voice. A lot of kids would recognize my voice in restaurants and come up and ask me why I wasn't dead. You know, because I died on their DVD. I think I'm the only guy ever to die in a Muppet movie.
Well, I got to say, it's Brave is one of my daughter's favorite movies. We constantly have to watch it.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, welcome, sir. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me. I wanted to start things off and just ask you how, because you started off as kind of a folk singer, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. How did you transition being a folk singer into you know, a comedian and person of movies?
Well, I started as a banjo player, old-timey Appalachian music.
Right.
And then I joined a guy called Tom Harvey, and we formed a band called the Humble Bums. And we did some country stuff, and I started writing songs. Then I met Jerry Rafferty,
and
he joined the band. And I thought, you know, Tam dropped out and there was a Jerry and I. So I thought, as time goes by, I would become a better singer-songwriter. And I did, but so did he.
Right.
He was excellent when I met him. And he got much better at singer-songwriting and I got better at introducing stuff. So I was finding myself drifting along the road to comedy, you know. My stories get longer and longer.
Right, right.
And he was getting better and better. So we very amicably split up in the end. And he formed Steeler's Wheel and I went solo.
Oh, wow. Wow. So
then I dropped the music altogether.
Okay, okay. So did you start off like just emceeing events then? Or did you from there just kind of go up and start getting time and doing, you know, 3 minutes here, 10 minutes there?
That's right. Just I had made quite a name for myself when I was in the Humble Bumps, so they booked me, and I was doing songs and comedy, and the comedy was getting longer and longer and longer until eventually it just overtook completely.
Right. Now, you're referring to more of like a story-based comedy then, rather
stories,
than just
that's what I still do, is storytelling.
Yeah, yeah. So did you notice that at the time that that was the transition, or that was the that was kind of the turn you were taking with comedy, being more of a storyteller?
Oh, without question, yeah. I'd always wanted to be a comedian, but I wasn't sure how to do it, you know, because right. I was hairy, and there was no outlets. There was no, hardly any nightclubs in Scotland. There was no vaudeville left. There was no such thing as comedy clubs.
Yeah.
So I was still in the folk scene, but being funny.
Right, right. What was some of your material? What were you drawing from?
Oh, it was from all over the place. It was just wild scatology and just grabbing bits of news here and there and making stories of it. And I remember I used to do one. There was a terrible accident. There was someone had stowed away in an aeroplane, but they were up beside the wheel. You know when people used to do that? They would.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The guy had tried to smuggle himself into Britain, and it was in Edinburgh. The wheels came down in the plane, and the guy fell out.
Oh,
so they
God.
Just found this terribly injured person lying on the pavement. They didn't know where he'd come from. And so right. I did a big story, long story about that.
So you basically, you're song, basically...
Please help me, I'm falling.
So you took extremely morbid and sad stories and turned them on their heads.
Absolutely. I think comedians have done that since time began. You know, whether they're talking about mother-in-laws or politics, they're usually talking about tragic events.
Right.
Or inadequacy. You know, there are inadequacies with sex or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Because people can relate to it, right?
Yeah. Comedy is rather a dark subject, you know. It's lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it deals in rather dark subject matter, you know, death and disease and inadequacy and going to the bathroom and things like that.
Of course, of course. You always got to get the toilet humor in there somewhere, right?
Okay, but you know, anywhere you're vulnerable, it's good for comedy.
That's for sure.
When you get your trousers down, you're vulnerable.
That's right. That's right. So did you ever see yourself, was there ever a point in your life, like when you were younger and you started out doing the comedy, making the transition from being a folk singer to a comedian, did you ever see yourself in a place like this where you are now? I mean,
yes, I did.
You did?
Because I was always a dreamer. So was Jerry. We were a pair of dreamers, but for both of us, the dream came true.
Right. So,
and I think a lot of people, you know, whether they're working in the computer business or in banking and stuff like that, they dream first and then do it.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people think dreaming a thing is wishy-washy. But in actual fact, a lot of good, sound success is based on a dream.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I like that. I like that outlook as well, because it does say it. You know, it speaks to the human condition a bit, and says that we can achieve things that are or seem at the time very far out of reach.
That's right. If you want it, and then want it some more, and then when you think you can't want it anymore, want it a little more, and you get it.
Right, right. Through a lot of hard work.
So it kind of can. You have to put in the work, but the work's a pleasure, and if it's something you enjoy doing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now
you know, it's like saying, if you know you can be a great guitarist, but you'll have to work. Well, of course you can, but the work is a pleasure.
Yeah, yeah. Now, recently, the news has come out that you found out you have Parkinson's disease, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. How did you find out about this? I read a little bit of.
Oh, it's extraordinary. I was doing the Conan O'Brien's show.
Okay.
About a year ago, and they put me up in an hotel in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And I was walking through the lobby of the hotel, and there was always a crowd of kids in the hotel, teenagers. They were from Australia. They were dancers. And the guy in charge of them, who turned out to be a doctor.
Uh-huh.
Came over to me in the lobby of the hotel, and he said, "Listen, Mr. Connolly, I'm a big fan, and blah blah blah." He said, "But I've been watching you coming and going here through the lobby, and your walk is kind of peculiar. It's suggestive to me that you've got early onset Parkinson's disease. I think you should see a doctor."
Really? Oh my gosh.
I went and saw my doctor, and the guy was right.
Wow, wow. So you didn't take that as just a crazy person. You took him at his word and
at first I thought, well, weird. Well, weird thing to tell somebody, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I took it seriously, and I'm kind of grateful to him.
Yeah. So what was that like finding that out?
It was kind of strange, to say the least, because it's, as the guy who tested me said, it's incurable. And I think they should change their attitude to that. They should say, we haven't yet found a cure.
Right, yeah.
You know, there's something quite terminal about incurable that stops the heart.
Yeah.
But I'm dealing with it. The most difficult thing about it is to deal with it mentally.
Right.
You know, that it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
But then the drugs are getting better all the time, and things are looking pretty hopeful on the horizon for it. You know, if the religious nutters would get out the road of stem cell research.
Yeah, yeah.
We could have some success there.
Yeah, yeah. We've dealt with that a little bit in my own family as well, and it does seem like the science is there to do some extraordinary work, but if some of the restrictions were lifted and people's personal religious beliefs were put at bay for a moment, we might get a little bit farther in the game, you know.
Absolutely, if religious people would just deal with themselves and leave the rest of us alone. You know, to go on with it. They should apply the beliefs to themselves. But when their beliefs start affecting me, I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. Now, is there still a lot of fear there? I mean, you've apparently been, you know, wrapping your head around this for the last year or so. But is there still a fear about what is to come and where you're going to be?
No, the fear has lessened because I've decided to give it a back seat.
Okay.
And some guys, you know, devote themselves to the internet and find out every little nuance about it. Well, I've decided to ignore it completely and go and see my doctor when I have to.
Right, right.
Just get on with it and make fun of it.
Yeah, and focus on your work, apparently, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're going to be in The Hobbit here pretty soon, too, right?
Yeah, that's at Christmas.
Wow, wow. What was filming that movie like?
Oh, it was extraordinary. It was very tiring because I'm a dwarf, and I'm 6'1", so
right.
Me a dwarf, you have to make me broad, wide. You don't have to wear all these things, and so did all the other dwarves. You know, they were all normal-sized guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And so between the big wide clothes and big false hands and stuff and extra stuff on my face and my head, they made us look squat.
Right, yeah.
But it was very, very heavy to carry around all day.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Never mind trying to fight with an axe.
Yeah, how heavy? I mean, was the axe real?
No.
No, just a rubber prop?
But it's not exactly light, you know, but you have to swing it around. And then we would overheat. And so we had a suit on underneath all the clothes. We had a plastic suit lined with little hoses. We'd plug into this machine and it would squirt cold water around the system.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were cooled like a car.
Oh, that's pretty cool, man. Well, I can't wait to see you in that. What character are you playing?
He's called Dane Ironfoot.
Oh, like the...
After the Battle of the Five Nations, the king gets killed and I become the king of the dwarves.
Oh, rad. Okay. Were you a fan of the Tolkien books or the Tolkien world?
I found them a bit difficult to read.
Really?
I tried and then I lost faith in them and let it go.
Well, that's too bad. But it sounds like you had a lot of fun making the movie.
Oh, yeah, making a movie is lovely. I wasn't making a book.
Right,
the
right.
Book was already there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the genius of Peter Jackson, you know.
Yeah, that must have been pretty cool.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. And the amazing scenery around New Zealand as well, right?
Oh, it's extraordinary. And I'll tell you the best thing that happened is Peter Jackson has a collection of First World War airplanes.
Really?
He let me fly in one of them. It was lovely.
What? What kind of airplane was it?
A Bristol fighter.
Wow, so it was like is that any...
Biplane.
Okay. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Stephen Fry and I were up in it. It was lovely.
Oh, my gosh. That's rad. Well, I know we're very, very short on time here with you here, Billy, but I do want to thank you for taking a couple minutes to chat with me, and it's been an absolute honor and a pleasure, sir.
Oh, thank you very much, and tell your daughter I said hello.
I will, for sure. All right, thank you very much, Billy. Have a great day.
See you later, man. Bye-bye.
Right, we are back. I hope you enjoyed that little chat with Billy Connolly. You know, super great guy. Like I said, very, very honored to talk with a man such of I don't even know.
Where are you going?
He's a legend. He's a frickin' legend,
a man of his stature.
Stature.
Is that where
yes.
you're going?
Yes. Oh, that's sure. it. That's it. Right.
That's what yeah. I'm here for, pal.
And to be asked to do it, too. I got a big, shout out a big thank you to Michael, who contacted me and asked me to do that. So thank you, Michael. And thank you, Billy Connolly, for taking the time to talk. He's not going to hear this, though, so that's, you know, whatever.
So you can still thank the man.
I know,
feel
I know.
Good about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, totally. I could have just left all that out and just said, hey, thanks, Billy Connolly, because I know you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and thank you, Kevin.
Yeah,
for stopping by.
Hey,
man,
no
backyard.
Problem, bud.
I really appreciate it.
No problem, bud.
Yeah. Best friends ever. Right?
Is that even a thing? Is that a song or what is that?
I just wrote it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Well, I just figured like we could go some like you know you have, like. What is it like? You got a friend and me.
Ah,
you know you can go that,
that
way.
Yeah,
or you
do
can
a little
go
Newman.
With,
yeah.
You know, what else is there? You got
my buddy.
Wherever I go, he goes, my buddy.
No,
my
it's buddy. No. I think it's wherever I go, he's gonna go. I remember that fucking commercial. I remember that
it's
doll.
Wherever I go, he goes, my buddy.
Yeah.
What about kid sister?
What came first?
What
yeah,
about
kid sister. That okay. So that you remember when they made kid sister commercial would come on right after the My Buddy commercial.
No, it was part of the My Buddy commercial.
Oh,
they,
was
they
it?
Just add that in.
Oh, okay,
and don't forget
gotcha.
About kid sister, yeah. kid sister, and me. It's like they tacked that one on.
I think it's because they probably got an angry email. It's like, where's the girl version?
I think it was more of an insurance kind of policy. They're like, we're going to try this dude doll thing, but we're going to let him know that, hey, by the way, there's the girl doll thing just in case this guy doll thing falls through.
Right. Do you remember?
I never knew anybody who had a My Buddy.
No, me neither. Yeah. Me neither. They
were
awful.
We all knew the commercial.
Well, and I think part of the problem is because Child's Play came out.
That's right.
And I was
and
just going to ask you.
That was a total play of that.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it totally
yeah,
was.
Right.
I was going to ask you, like, what came first, Child's Play or My Buddy?
I think it was My Buddy.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it was My Buddy.
Yeah.
Then Child's Play came out.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Way to go, whoever did that movie. Kev, thank you so much, man. You going to come to this Air Raid Live show? Air Raid Live, man, March 29th.
I like to make you think that I am. I mean, so, you know, I'm going to,
Oh, man.
No, I'm
going to
be there.
That
I'm
going to
be there. I'm going to be there.
Need,
yeah, we're going to
need her.
We're going to be there.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to be there. Unless something tragic happens or something.
God, please don't let anything tragic happen. Hey, $4 Air Raid Live, March 29th. We've got comedian Derek Sheen.
That's a hell of a deal, man. Like, oh, dude. Why wouldn't anybody go to that? I mean,
it's super cheap.
It's super cheap. Yeah. It's a cool area.
It's going to be a great night.
I mean, even if things, you know, your show's over and all that stuff, and I don't know when it ends.
We're going to go across the street to the Baranoff and have some victory shots, man.
Got the Yenwar down the way.
Yeah, totally.
You got the crosswalk there.
Yeah.
You can head up to the yard a little further even up.
You know what's right next to, you know what's right next to Naked City right now? Bills on Greenwood.
On Greenwood. I was going to say Broadway because that's the other one. Right. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of stuff to do around there, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be great. March 29th, 9 p.m. at Naked City Brewery in the screening room. $4, people. Only $4. You can get your tickets on brownpapertickets.com. We're going to have Derek Sheen, comedian Derek Sheen, going to do some stand-up for us and chat. We're going to have Unfortunate Photography, Aaron's Life and Unfortunate Photography. You got to come and check it out. The Young Evils are going to play a set, and then we're going to do some drunk music trivia with them because, of course, Troy is a DJ at KEXP, and Mackenzie, her dad was the photographer, or still is the official photographer for Pearl Jam. So they've got a very...
Really?
Yeah, yeah, very large
what's his
music
name?
History.
What's his name?
Lance Mercer.
It's Lance Mercer,
yeah,
seriously?
Yes.
I know Lance Mercer. I mean,
you
I
do?
I know who it is. I don't know
him. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know he's been... He's,
that's Mackenzie Mercer's father.
Really? He's taken all sorts of cool pictures from the grunge scene back
totally.
In the day.
That guy was all up in it.
Yeah, he was.
And then also, of course, we're going to have the lovely and very talented Shelby Earl at the show as well. It's going to be great. Naked City Brewery, March 29th, $4, 9 p.m., get your tickets now because they are very limited and we are almost pretty much halfway sold out. So get them now.
So not really sold out at all then.
Not really sold out, but hey, we're getting there. And we've got a month left.
You know, I was
thinking they're all gone.
You know,
people,
even to sell it even more to help
what?
You out a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
Even that area, you could get yourself like one of those cheap motels right there on 99.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean,
by the hour.
Look, it's a one-stop shopping deal. If you're coming from somewhere up north or somewhere south or somewhere out of state, you could easily come to this thing for $4.
You could.
Probably get an hourly rate motel on 99,
totally
walking
true.
Distance from this place, and tons of prostitutes outside. So you could come up here, get a room, get laid, and then get wasted at your deal.
I'm telling you, people, it's going to be a great time. Great time. Get a prostitute. Bring her to the show. Why not? Make a date.
Yeah, and look at what a big man you'd be if you got this prostitute and you said, hey, I'm going to buy you a ticket. We're going to go see this show.
Wear your finest hooker heels.
She doesn't even know that it's $4. That, you know, but she's like, you know, come to the show with me. I'm a big deal. I'm staying over here at the Seal Motel.
Right, right. Yeah.
Come to this show, honey. It looks like you know, and maybe like a Julia Roberts sort of thing happens.
Oh,
they
man.
They fall in love.
You fall in love. You buy her a pearl necklace. You snap the thing on her hand. She laughs, like with a big, beautiful laugh.
You wake up with the herp and puke in your bed. There's the other way it goes.
Maybe some lice in areas you don't want it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think we got to end it here, dude.
Okay.
It's late.
See you, dude.
We got to go, right?
Yep.
Featuring music today by the band, Nothing. Nothing, man. Check them out. Please do.
The Nothing, right?
No, it's just Nothing.
It's just Nothing?
Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. They're great. New record. Let's see. Guilty of Everything out on Relapse Records right now, available right now. And this song is called Get Well. And we'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Tune in next week, everybody. We'll see you then. Have a good one.